fitness, nutrition, sleep, longevity, performance, fat loss, and all the keys to a life of health, happiness, and success. I'm Jed Zimmer, your host, and welcome to The Health Project. Welcome back, guys. We've got episode 40 tonight of The Health Project, which, as promised in previous episodes, every 10th episode, I jump on and do a bit of a solo episode where I answer any questions sent in. So we're back to that time now that it's the 40th. Our last one of these was the 30th, and we had some ripping questions sent in. And same thing again, I've been lucky to have some really good questions that we're going to cover tonight. And even though it is a bit of a solo episode, I thought it does get a bit boring and a bit taxing sort of having to do all the talking myself. So I will be answering a lot of these questions myself, but I've brought someone in with me today to answer a lot of these, and he's a bit of a guest too, especially in the fitness industry. So I've actually got Lachlan Josie, who's he's a local boy. He's the founder of Central Vic Performance. So Lachlan, welcome to Health Project, mate. It's good to have you on.
Thanks, mate. It's happy to be here. Yeah,
it's brilliant, mate. You've actually got your own podcast up too for the Central Vic Performance, so you'd be used to it by now.
Oh, I wouldn't say used to it just yet, but it's just good to have a platform for our members just to do a bit of learning. So that's pretty much how our platform came about.
Yeah,
we found that we got asked a lot of the same questions over and over. So for us, yeah, it's just a platform for our members. If we do have frequent questions, they get answered there, and then they have something obviously to revert back to.
Brilliant, mate. Looking forward to today. Bit of a yarn with yourself. I draw a lot of information and education off you. You know, you were an inspiration when you first sort of started up this business of Central Vic Performance. I did look up to you, especially in the functional fitness side of things. It's something that I never really did a lot myself, but I am incorporating a bit more into my training. So super work, mate. If anyone wants to check out Central Vic Performance, just jump on the Instagram, Facebook, website. Is that the place to go?
Absolutely, man. It's it's just so crazy these days. You use the social media, slide into the messages, and then from there just get a free trial booked and start your journey.
Brilliant, mate. Well, let's do it. Let's get to the cut chase of while we're here. So we've got a few questions sent in. There's three specific ones that we're going to answer, mate. And then there was quite a few that were quite broad. So I thought what we'll do is we'll break them into categories after answering these three and really hone in some key pillars of health and fitness, which what we're going to do, we're going to talk about movement. So exercise, pretty much, sleep, nutrition, and stress management, which I think, in my opinion, for the biggest pillars. But we're going to answer the very three specific questions to start off with. And I got a really good question to begin with, because I posted on the social media yesterday a result of my most recent body scan, which I was very, very happy with. And it was rewarding to see, because I've been putting in a lot of work, and I've been lucky enough over the last 3 to 4 months to put on quite a fair bit of muscle mass. So I'm up 7 kilos from when I began 3 months ago. But at the same time, I've been able to pretty much maintain my exact body fat percentage.
I'll just stop you there real quick. I think you used the wrong words there. I don't think it has anything to do with luck. It's obviously just the work you put in.
Thanks, mate. Yeah. I do appreciate it. But yeah, so I got a question after posting that. I got some really good responses, and I'm super thankful for a few of you did send me a message. But one guy asked, how have I been able to add it on so much muscle mass whilst maintaining that very low body fat percentage? Which, it's a good question, because it's a goal that everyone wants to achieve. Everyone wants to clearly put on a bit of muscle without the expense of putting on a lot of fat at the same time, which is very tricky because they do counteract one another. Before I get into it, Locke, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit.
Yep.
I know you're doing something very similar at the moment. You're actually going through a bit of a clean stage where you're trying to stack on a fair bit of muscle yourself.
Yep, absolutely.
And you're able to do something very similar without putting on a fair bit of body fat.
Yeah, without too much.
Yeah. So when it comes to that, what are some key pillars that you're implementing, and what would be your best advice then?
Well, I think for me, like, my case would be slightly different to everyone else's. I've come from a competitive CrossFit background. So looking at training anywhere between, you know, it can vary between 2 to 4 hours a day, which is obviously quite extensive. So actually stepping away from that, training only takes about 1 hour and 15 minutes now. It's minimal conditioning. And by conditioning, I mean, you know, maintaining a heart rate above 160 for 10 plus minutes.
Mm.
So I don't have a lot of that going on.
Yep.
And then when I do workouts that do get my heart rate up, it's still all hypertrophy based. So
right.
Firstly, the whole stress management factor, that is just so much easier to manage.
Yep, because, which we're going to go into too,
yeah,
which will be awesome.
Yeah. So that's heaps easy to manage, which obviously promotes recovery, which is fantastic. The training side of things, again, all of it is focused around hypertrophy, but I'm still maintaining functional movements. So a lot of multi-joint movements and stuff like that. So you do get very creative when it comes to training or building a program. But for me, I find that super interesting and it actually keeps me pretty stimulated.
How's I want to ask, how's your nutrition changed throughout all this? So obviously you're training there, you've said a little bit.
Yeah.
What, has the nutrition changed much?
As far as food intake goes, I definitely needed to consume very high calories. So I'm at about 4,300 calories. I'm just about to switch up my carb intake. I'm just going to lower that just a little bit because my body fat is climbing up a little more than I would actually like it to.
Okay, yep.
But yeah, so essentially I would usually maintain my body weight at about 3,200 to 3,400 calories a day.
Yep.
And then now, yeah, I've pretty much added an extra 1,000 calories into that. Eating, for me, it's 3 to 4 big meals.
Yep.
Purely because I don't like sitting down to eat. And that's just the battle I've had with myself.
Yep.
So I have 3 to 4 big meals, and then from there, I'm doing a fair bit of grazing throughout the day as well, just to make sure that I'm not essentially hungry at any point.
Brilliant. Yeah,
just to make sure the body's always recovering.
Just a quick little update. How's it going? What's
So started week one weighing in at 90.5, I believe I was around there, and I weighed in yesterday 95 kilos. So we're at the end of the fifth week this week. So around that mark at the moment. Yes, I'm pretty happy. My goal is to make sure that I add about 0.5 kilo a week. So I'm just above that. I can't, again, it does vary a little just depending on hydration and stuff like that.
That's a good point there, adding sort of 0.5 kilo a week, because, you know, when you sort of do try and really increase it, which a lot of people want to do, they want to see the results really quick. That's when you see, I think, a lot of the body fat come on with it as well.
Yep.
Where if it's very steady and gradual, that's a big step, I think, for sure.
I mean, for myself, there's definitely a meal in there that isn't, every single day, that isn't super clean. You've probably seen me sneak a few.
Oh, it's phenomenal, Matt, yeah.
of those snacks past you, and then hand me a gut health supplement.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's purely just to get those calories up, just to make sure that I found when I was doing it super clean that I actually felt really a lot worse off. Just a lot of bloating, all that sort of stuff.
There you go, interesting. Yeah.
Potentially working with another nutritionist, stuff like that, might be able to tweak a few things and get past that.
Great, mate. That's awesome. Yeah, my take, very, very similar lock. So it was a goal of mine a couple of months back just to put on, for sport-specific reasons, to put on a fair bit of muscle. But I've always been someone who has been able to maintain a fairly lean physique. I think a bit of genetics as well as a bit of hard work.
Yeah, absolutely.
A bit of both for sure. And I'm very, very strict with my nutrition. So that's one thing that's paid dividends for me. What I've done different though is pretty much what this bloke specifically wants to hear. I've tinkered with a few things. A lot of it is my nutrition. So I am consuming more than I would have done 4 or 5 months ago. But I'm being very specific with that. So
do you have a best, do you think, like bang for your buck meal? Like, I mean, obviously they're all super important, but did you have a big one that when you decided to make or gain that muscle mass that you went, all right, this meal is probably the biggest one that's going to have a big change?
100%. So and that's what I was going to go in is the biggest change is surrounding that workout time. So I'm getting in crazy amounts of nutrients following my workout, a lot of carbs, a lot of protein, and also during my workout. So one thing that I've tinkered with, so there's not too much. I'm still focusing on the quality and the timing of my meals, but two things that have changed. So during my workout, I'm now having some carbs and amino acids, which has been a bit of a game changer for me for energy reasons and adding on that muscle.
Yep.
Great to have carbs and amino acids because they can go straight into the bloodstream during the workout. And also crazy amount of food post-workout because you're in an insulin-sensitive state. Your muscles are going to uptake a lot of this the glucose. So any nutrients you can get in post-workout is going to be critical. So I have that as my main meal of the day. Outside of that, I haven't actually changed too much. So I'll get in, you know, my three main meals, carbs following my workout, and also carbs of the evening. So I'm getting in plenty of carbs, getting in plenty of protein around the times when I need it. And then also healthy fats, which is something that people do seem to neglect quite a fair bit.
Just drink olive oil, mate.
Drink olive oil. that's a trigger. Locks will sort of, what do you do?
Just drink
gallon
it.
Yeah.
Just drink it.
Yeah. Down the hatch.
With a Cobram Estate, it's 5 seconds down the hatch.
There you go.
That's about 30 mil-ish. Yeah. So
see, I don't do that. I do sprinkle it on all my food. So yeah, whatever I have, if I have an omelette or if I had any meal, I will sprinkle it on. But I haven't got to the stage where I just drink it.
To me, like I said, I don't like, that's a battle of mine, is yep, getting food in. So if I can find a way that's going to be a little more efficient, I'm down for it.
Yeah.
So in little things in the morning, I'll have a coffee and 5 seconds of olive oil.
Yeah. Now, I'm a little bit different. Like, I actually don't track my calories, which I've spoken quite a fair bit about to a lot of my clients. And that, for me personally, I just in my lifestyle, at the moment, current time, I don't have a lot of the time to be weighing a lot of my food. Obviously, there is a lot of apps out there. MyFitnessPal, and that's a great one.
Oh, they're fantastic.
They're absolutely incredible. And yeah, don't get me wrong, I couldn't recommend them highly enough. For me personally, at the moment, I'm just not doing it. I don't I don't feel the need at the moment. Certainly, if they get so sage, I definitely will. But no doubt, I know I would be consuming a lot more, so I would be in a bit of a calorie surplus. But the biggest thing for me is actually the macronutrient timing. So carbs around the workout, protein around the workout,
yep,
and then the healthy fats and lean protein around the times I'm not generally physically active. So let's just say if I work out in the morning, I'll follow it up with a very high protein and very high carb meal. And then I might be pretty low key throughout the rest of the day. So I'll focus on getting in a lot of healthy fats. So I generally I'll probably have one avocado a day. I have a lot of olive oil, a lot of nuts, seeds, avocado oils, all sorts of things. And then again, I generally do something in the evening, whether that's a footy training or I'm actually competing for a boxing fight at the moment, which is a bit of a funny topic.
Yes. Right?
Yeah, we won't cover that. It's I don't want to put myself in the deep end yet, but I generally exercise morning and evening at the moment. So again, I'll have a lot of carbs and protein, still some healthy fats in the evening. So that'd be the biggest thing, I reckon. Just going back to the question that we did get asked about putting on some muscle, really prioritising the macronutrient timing. So when you're getting certain macronutrients in, it's so critical to get your carbs and protein in following your workout. The thing I implemented was carbs and amino acids during the workout, which has been a game changer. And then after that, it does go back to the principles of, you know, focusing on every little thing. Your sleep, your training's got to be on point. Yeah, your nutrition, so what you're consuming and all sorts of things. Would you add anything different there, Locke?
Not necessarily. One thing I probably just would want to mention, because of the way you have your macronutrients layout and the timings of obviously high intake of carbs around workouts and more of a high-fat, high-protein kind of diet for the rest of the day.
Yep.
Do you find that keeps your energy levels nice and balanced because of the way you have that set up?
Absolutely. Yeah, I've tinkered with it a fair bit. That's probably a really good point, because one advice would be you got to find what works best for you.
And like, everyone's going to be quite different.
That's right, yeah.
I personally know that like pulling carbs out of my diet, for the most part, is just going to roll me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just a fiend for them.
Absolutely, yeah. So I've tinkered with all sorts of things, and I think these results have proven to me and shown that this is, because I'm feeling energetic, my results are better now. I think it is the sweet spot for me, which everyone's got to find. You've got to play around. I've trialed around with the paleo diet, a keto diet, low carb, high carb, and I'm generally not either at the moment. I'm not high carb, I'm not low carb.
If it's got a name, it's not a good...
Yeah, that's right.
It's not a good nutrition plan. And someone's making cash from it.
That's right. I always say to a lot of my clients when we're talking about nutrition and that, they say, I might just do this for 8 weeks. And I'm like, what's the point? You may as well find something that you're going to be doing in 15 years' time that's sustainable.
Yeah.
Find it as early as you can, and then it should be there to stay for life.
And something you enjoy, because with training and a balanced energy level and relatively level hormones, all that sort of stuff, that is enjoyable.
Yeah, that's right. 100%. Yeah. All right. Great answers there, Locke. Good. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
The next one. I like this one. So we had a female chuck this one in. So she... I had a bit of a chat to her after, bit of a cheek, and she was pretty happy with the photo that I put up, which involved the abs, where I posted about send your questions in.
You don't have any, mate.
Nah. But she said she feels like she's fairly lean. She feels like she's at a low body fat percentage, but can't see any ab definition.
Yep.
And similar to her partner as well, she mentioned. So what she was asking is, what would be the best advice to actually see ab definition?
Yep.
So I was going to have a chat to it there, but I said, how about I cover this with Locke on our podcast coming up. So again, I'm going to start with you, mate. What's your advice and your take on things, and then I'll give my little spill.
We touched base on this ever so slightly prior to this. obviously two keys is how lean you are,
mm-hmm.
and then some form of hypertrophy, like building that muscle. So the abdominals, essentially, they're an oblique. They don't necessarily hypertrophy that much, okay? Can be done a little bit. I find, obviously, just making sure that you have that body awareness. And this takes a little bit of time to learn, but essentially just, you know, the old bend and snap kind of moving, but not being able to recruit the muscle is not going to give you a whole lot of benefit. So for someone like you and I, Jed, we might get away with doing 10 Swiss ball crunches, but we can really recruit those abs to a point where it's just like, they actually feel like they're going to come out of the 100%. Skin. It really hurts.
Yep.
Versus for someone who's quite new to it and hasn't quite yet learnt that motor control, it might take them 100 plus reps to get a similar outcome. So finding that awareness and practicing how to recruit individual muscles, in this case specifically your abs, is going to be key.
Yep.
And then secondly, body fat. And then by this, it's not necessarily, I mean, our scanners are great, but the best one to get this one sorted is going to be using the calipers.
Yep.
Right? From there, we can actually tell which area you are carrying more body fat. And then from there, each area kind of has like a different meaning. So specifically around the stomach, if that is higher in relation to the rest of the body, that just means that, I mean, there's obviously other meanings as well, but a really simple way to lower that is to pull out some carbs from the diet.
Yeah.
And then obviously we can fulfill the raise the other macronutrients.
Yeah.
So that you're not in too much of a deficit, but just making sure those carbs are slightly lower, and then obviously just having a look at your intake as well. So things first would be bread.
Yeah.
Like, which that's always a go-to.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people seem to think like, oh, I'm eating quite healthy. And then we break it down. It's not necessarily unhealthy, but it's just the macronutrient breakdown of those meals as well.
And what we especially, why carbohydrates, a lot of the people ask that, is because if it is around your waist area, glucose or glycogen, which is a fuel source of carbohydrates, 9 times out of 10, that's generally, you store it around your waist.
Yep,
so,
absolutely.
So that's why if someone is...
The I'm doing the quotation marks, the problem area. Problem area.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, and for instance, some people might sort around their arms and all that, and it might be a different macronutrient that might be the case. Another one around the waist area that I'll quickly want to go on is cortisol. So cortisol is another specific area. If your cortisol levels are higher, you're generally going to store, they say, more body fat around your waist area. So reducing cortisol from improving your sleep, stress management is going to be the biggest things. I read a study the other day, we're going to go into sleep in a little bit, but it said one poor night of sleep actually raises cortisol for anywhere up to 3 weeks. So little raises for the next 3 weeks just from one poor night of sleep. So that's going to reduce your adrenaline hormone, meaning you're going to be hungrier throughout the day. You're going to have cravings for sweets. And without even changing anything, even if you do stick to a clean diet, with cortisol raise, you're going to store more body fat. So I think...
Oh, exactly, yeah.
I think reducing cortisol, if you've got a lot of body fat around your waist area, reducing carbs is a good step. And as Locke said, that mind-muscle connection, I was going to touch on it. He pretty much took all the words out of my mouth. It's probably the biggest key, because you can go to a core exercise, you can smash through 20 reps, but taking that time to really slow down, focusing on actually that tension. Like, I know if I do 5 sit-ups with Locke now, with proper form, proper mind-muscle connection, it absolutely kills. You feel it the next day. So really focusing on that. You can even focusing on your breathing throughout a core exercise is another really good way. So that'd be the three biggest things. And as Locke said, some people, you know, you might feel like you're generally really lean. Without being a bit harsh and picky, we do see that some people who are, you know, slightly skinnier, their body fat percentage might still be a little bit higher. So that's...
And that purely just comes down to a genetics thing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
so that's just your starting point. And then the best way to obviously, you know, move forward from that is get help. Mm. Like, see a nutritionist or come into a facility like what we have here at Fit Republic and CVP, and speak to someone there. Like, we've been through this sort of stuff over and over and over. And there's, it's a relatively easy thing to move forward from.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Yep. There's always ways around these things, for sure. All right. You won't be able to help me out with this one, mate. This one's a bit of a funny one. Now, a lot of you guys listening to the Health Project won't have any idea, but a few people on the social media, a few locals and that who know me as well, will know the reason behind this. why do I... So a bloke called Stewie, I'm going to throw him in the deep end here. Stewie sent in a question saying, why do you get called the jock man? So it's a very funny... Do you know this story, Locke?
No.
No. So not. The old-fashioned Y jocks, do you know them? They come in... Like the V jocks?
Yep.
Yep, so the V jocks. So I gave them an absolute spanking for about 2 years there. A real working over. And they went out of fashion when I was wearing them.
How many years ago is this?
This is probably 3 years ago.
Yeah, okay. So everyone was pretty hard on the brief by this point.
Everyone was hard on the brief. And yep. I was giving these, the wide jocks, an absolute spanking. not a lot of people knew, but because obviously no one, like, you're not going to see my jocks every day. But I was doing it. And then it was footy season. And after a game of footy, you sort of, you know, you're pretty
you
wet.
You'll strip off together.
You'll strip off. You throw your clothes off and all that. And here I am every single week, first one to strip off because I carry on a bit. And all these boys just see me in the wide jocks and they thought it was the funniest thing ever. So I think it was Yak Ross, one of the boys, he started yelling out, look at the jocks on jock. What do you say? I reckon he just called me jockey then and then on the spot. We had 40 blokes in the room losing it. So it's for two reasons. It's one, because I wore the wide jocks, but also the fact that I was always the happiest to be walking around in the jocks. I was always... Pants were off, shirts were off.
The jock man.
The jock man. Yeah. So it's stuck. They called me jockey then on the spot. It went on to jock man. Now it's going to jock strap. And jock man's been here to stay. It's a nickname I love. I've actually, I haven't lived up to it though, Locke. I've, in the last probably 6 months.
You've stopped wearing undies.
Nah, not quite. Nah, not there yet, mate. I've gone back to the old briefs.
Yep.
Yeah, I've converted. I don't know.
If you find a good pair, mate, which it's important to have a good pair, they are hyper comfortable.
There's a turning point, mate. So, if I put the wide jacks or the jockman jocks back on now, no good.
Do you reckon your glutes would eat them now with a bit more muscle mass?
I do work in the glute a fair bit. I don't know if it's that. I don't know. If I just do it now, they get a bit tight around the groin area and that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the old-fashioned Bond briefs now my go-to.
Look at you, mate, growing up.
Yeah, I know, mate. No more wide jocks. Anyway, so there's that's the reason if you've ever wondered or you're curious in the future why I'm called Jock Man, just listen to the last 2 minutes of Absolute Dribble. All right, look, we're gonna wrap it up with a few key areas to touch on because there was some other questions, but as I said at the beginning, they were very, very brief, so I thought I might categorise them into some key pillars of health. So... my key four pillars of health, what I think are movement or exercise, sleep, nutrition, and stress management. And you cannot see 100% results without covering all four, I don't think. I don't think necessarily one's more important than the other. I think they just, they work around and they, what's the word? They, compensate, they assist one another.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is what I'm trying to get at. So I do see a lot of people who might train with me and they're absolutely unbelievable. Credit to them for the way they train in the gym. But then they might get home and their nutrition might slack a little bit, or I'm not going to put his name under the bus, but I've got one client who's seen awesome results. He trains incredible. Even his nutrition is incredible, but he trains at about 12 o'clock at night and then he gets up for work at 5 o'clock in the morning. And he's pretty sluggish throughout the days. He says his stress has gone up through the roof. So we've had to really work on that with him. So I think you got to cover all bases. So what we're gonna do, Locke, we're just gonna go through some key tips for each of the above.
Yep, absolutely.
So movement and exercise. I'll start off. My biggest advice is find something you love, because one, that's gonna be sustainable, you're gonna enjoy it, and you're generally gonna see the best results there. So a lot of people know the benefits of coming in, doing some strength-based workout, even though it probably, in our opinion, working in the field, it probably is the best approach. If you don't necessarily love it, we would say give it a go first.
Absolutely, yeah.
But if you, it's the same thing with running. If you, like, we all know the benefits of running, but if you don't enjoy it, why do it? Find something that you're gonna stick to that's sustainable.
Yep, I would go almost the same thing. So purely because I want to encourage people to try this strength and muscle building process. And I think saying it like that, often if you say that to women in particular, that we're going to go through a hypertrophy phase, they think, oh, like I'm going to get big and bulky. But it's just not going to happen. It's purely just to stabilize their joints, make sure that your body can function properly. But number one is learn something new, right? As far as movement goes, because you don't know if you're going to love it or not. So give it a shot.
That's right. Yeah.
Secondly, yeah, you took the words from my mouth. Do something you love.
Mm.
I know when I'm in a training slump, I revert straight back to Olympic lifting and I always have a great time.
get your passion back for
yep.
it.
Yep, and then sure. I'll jump back into some conditioning stuff after that. But always, stick to something you love.
Absolutely. Yep. Any movement is better than others. I love going for a walk.
I can't stand walking.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yep.
I hate it. Too slow.
You're getting too heavy, mate. Come on, yeah. You might have to.
No, I've always really hated walking.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
It's something I definitely still force myself to do a little.
Yep.
Because I know it is great for the mind more so than anything. And just a gentle bit of recovery. But again, that's something you enjoy doing. So
I do it. If you don't enjoy it, don't.
I jump down the mountain bike.
Yeah, exactly.
I get to do a similar thing, a relatively low intensity exercise. But I also get to travel at three or four times the speed.
I was going to go to sleep next, but we're sort of on the topic of stress management a little bit. So we're covering around walking. Let's do that one. Stress management, really so critical, as we sort of covered with cortisol a little bit. A lot of people don't think of stress management when they think of body composition. They think of, you know, nutrition, exercise. But I think it's every bit as important, if not more, for your mental clarity, but really focusing on that hormonal health. I did a presentation at my old school, actually, a couple of days back, and I spoke a little bit on stress management.
Yep.
A few key things that work for me. We've all heard of meditation. It sounds a bit cringy. I chuck in a meditation session every single morning.
I'm really excited to talk about this one, to be honest.
Yeah. Yep. I do it every single morning. So it's part of my morning routine. I'm very lucky that I've got a close friend who's a yoga teacher. I go around here at about 6 a.m. in the morning. We do a 15-minute just a sort of sun salutation, get the body moving, and we finish off with 10 minutes of breath work and meditation. It's awesome for me. I've found enormous benefits, and I think a lot of people struggle with it because I certainly did. When you do meditation, you get all sorts of thoughts popping in your head, and I struggled with that for so long, and I still get those thoughts of the day until I came to sort of a realization that it's not being able to necessarily 100% clear thoughts, because you can't do it. It's the way the brain works. It needs thoughts coming in. It's more so about being able to recognize that you've actually got these thoughts coming in and then being able to clear them, and then you can apply that to your daily life. So if you're having a bit of a crappy day, you might go, right, I've got these negative thoughts coming in. Just being able to recognize that they're there and then going, right, I need to clear these for now. So that's been the biggest benefit for me. I incorporate that into my daily routine. Journaling puts me in an awesome mindset. So it's going to go on to sleep a little bit, but I read another study the other day that said the quality of your thoughts 10 minutes, I think it was, before you go to sleep, actually dictate the way you sleep. So, you know, if you're on your phone just before you hit the sack, or you watch a scary movie, it's going to play with your mind a little bit, whereas if you go to sleep with some gratitude or something, you hit the sack with a really good mindset. You wake
up excited to get up.
Oh, absolutely.
For the next day to go again.
That's right. Yeah. And then, walking, another good, just finding something you enjoy.
Yep.
How about you, mate?
It's funny you said meditation. For me, I have struggled with the quality of my sleep for a little while. So that traditional form of meditation where you sit and be still, and whether it's guided, is something I physically can't do. I will fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
So I've tried. The longest I've been able to do is 6 minutes without falling asleep. I'm the king of just dropping. So yep. I've not been able to do a lot of that. I've definitely played around, toyed with the idea of it. But for me, that one doesn't work. So for me, my biggest form of stress management is just when I'm exploring or out kind of on an adventure or doing something almost just away from people.
Which is actually a form of, not necessarily meditation, but it's a form of mindfulness. So
it's exactly what's
mindfulness. Yeah, that's right. And it's a really good point, because mindfulness doesn't have to be sit down meditation.
Yep.
I think in mindfulness, sometimes I go for a walk and I just, for 30 seconds, I try and just think about that present moment, think about, what's happened that day, and just focus on, my breath for 30 seconds. Even eating's another really good example, actually. You know, we all just sit there on our phone and all that.
Well, feel the way you chew, feel the texture of your food, 100%. Food, play it, like think about the flavours, all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
Again, that's something I would definitely disregard a little bit, but I've definitely spoken to a lot of people that find a lot of benefit in that.
Absolutely. I lost my phone, cooked it for about a week there.
Yep.
Which...
Was that the one with the screen?
You've seen it, mate. In our modern era, mate, that's a... Going a week without a phone is a nightmare. And I do need it for a lot of my clients and that, so even thinking back now, I'm like, how did I do it? But it was one of the best weeks I've had.
I love it. I drive up from Castlemaine.
Yeah.
So that there's two things here. Obviously, in the morning, I'll listen to music, kind of wake me up a little bit, get me hyped. But on the way home, the car rides silent.
Yeah.
And that's my half an hour window where I can actually sit there and process the day.
Yeah.
Great things, bad.
All right, apologies, guys, if it sounds like we've just it's gone halfway through lock talking, and now me, we had a bit of a... Oh, I got a phone call halfway through recording this, so we've had to quickly jump back on, and we weren't quite exactly sure we were up to, so it might be a bit of a hiccup to this point, but we're gonna wrap it up there. We thought stress management was awesome, so now we're gonna move on to sleep. Sleep is huge. Sleep's a lot of people actually think sleep's more important than the nutrition and the exercise side of things. It's the only time your body gets a chance to recover. It's the only time you actually see improvements in your muscle. So generally, if you exercise, people think that's when their muscles are growing, but you're actually breaking down your muscle. It's when you sleep and recover that the muscles get a chance to replenish, repair themselves. So I think sleep's probably just about the biggest thing, and it's something that I place the most importance of. A few things that I incorporate. When I touched on that phone thing, not having a phone for a while, I noticed my sleep improved dramatically, and that was it stood out to me a fair bit. So since that week, I've decided to chuck my phone away about 8:45. Generally, I want to be asleep by about 9:45, 10 o'clock. So about an hour before I want to go to sleep, I chuck the phone away. If I'm going to be, you know, exposing myself to any blue light, whether it's a TV or just walking around the kitchen, bit cringy again, but like, I've got a pair of blue light blocking glasses,
I've got them,
mate.
Too, mate. I've got clear ones, and jeez, I copped some shit for
them.
I look good, and
yeah, for the first 6 months there, if I was sending someone a Snapchat, it'd just be of what's in front of me. I'd never put my face, but I just got to say, I could not care less.
So now embrace them.
Yeah, I'm embracing them. So I'll wear those blue light blocking glasses from about 8:45. Again, the journaling is huge for me, really reflecting on your day, going to sleep on a positive mindset. Two other things that I'll quickly say is just exposing yourself to light very first thing in the morning, because what that does is it wakes up your body. It tells you that it's daytime.
Did you see the sky this morning?
I did.
Nice and red. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I do a bit of sun gazing. So I look up at it for about a second or two, just hit the eyes. And exercise early has also proven to improve your sleep quality. So I've read crazy amounts. I'm a bit of a geek with it. I try and find every little hack that I can. And majority of the research suggests that early in the day that you exercise, generally you're going to have the better quality of sleep. So I incorporate all of them.
Just in sync with your circadian rhythm.
That's right. Yeah. And again, if that's not... You don't generally have to follow that rule. Like, if that's not suitable for your lifestyle, don't do it.
No.
Any exercise is going to be better than others.
For sure.
Yeah. Any you want to add there, mate? You've obviously got the blue light blockers.
For me, no, it's pretty similar. Again, I've always struggled with the quality of my sleep, so I played around with a few different steps. I pulled the TV out of my room. It may or may not have since come back in.
Yeah,
I definitely had to get through Peaky Blinders. So.
Yeah, it's definitely back in then.
Even since then, the last thing I'll kind of do, I'll usually turn the TV off probably half an hour before I actually get to sleep.
Yeah.
But even since I've had it back in the room, I definitely notice a slip in. More so just my mood level.
Mate, actually,
that's been the biggest one for me. It's just a bit of a roller coaster with my mood since then.
So. There's one thing that I almost forgot about, and we've spoken about it. We can't not mention it, is mouth taping.
We've spoken about it
once before. Are you still doing it?
No.
No, so...
In saying that, I have been sleeping with a CPAP machine recently. That's a whole other level.
We're not going to go into that. We could talk for an hour. But the mouth taping's a very funny one. I'm a mouth breather. I think you are as well, Locke.
Absolutely. Yep.
And again, it's just going off the research. Mouth breathing, especially while you're sleeping, has been shown to reduce the quality of your sleep. Generally, because you're breathing in through your mouth, what you've got is you've got a sympathetic you can be in a sympathetic state or a parasympathetic state.
Yep.
And generally, breathing through your mouth, they put you in that parasympathetic, or is it sympathetic? Sympathetic's where you're fight or flight.
Yep.
So breathing through your mouth, generally, because if you think about it, when you're exercising, you need to try and get in as much oxygen as you can so you breathe through your mouth. But if you're doing that while you sleep, while there's no stress on at all, you're just amplifying the stress on your body when there's no need to.
It's essentially sending a message saying that you are under stress.
That's right, yeah. Yep. So I looked into a lot. I tried Somnifix mouth straps, which were awesome, but they were quite expensive. So now I've
done it with the flexible strapping tape.
Yeah.
Stuff you would... it's almost like for wounds and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I've got now.
Use that. I use it to strap my thumbs when I do Olympic lifting. So I was like, oh, I'll just try this. And that was the one that stayed on the best.
Yeah.
And I found worked the best. I didn't get a rash around my mouth. I know that's a common thing for a lot of people.
100%. Yeah.
pretty hard with the sweet mo that we have.
Yeah. That's the thing. It pulls a couple off every single morning.
Yeah. So
that's that.
To get it to stick there, otherwise I kind of just made sure it was up a little higher so I could get just above it.
Yeah.
And actually stick to my skin.
Mm. It's a very interesting one. I'm not completely advocating it, but if you want to try it, if you're a mouth breather, if you're not sleeping that great and you've tried everything.
And just do as you've done, journal. So
that's
just
right. Yep.
Jot down how you feel in the morning after it. And number two, is the tape still there in the morning?
That's right. Yeah,
because often you'll find that it won't be.
Yeah.
But
and if you find yourself waking up in the morning because waking up throughout the night because it's pulling on you, that's going to be affecting your sleep. So
But give it a try.
Wait a week or so. Yeah.
Write it down and see how you feel and go from there.
The last one, mate, we don't really need to go into. I think we might wrap it up very shortly, was the nutrition. But we covered a lot of that when we spoke about building muscle, losing fat.
And that's going to be different for every single goal. That's a whole other 10 podcasts in themselves.
That's exactly right. So we'll probably cover that in further weeks. But my two biggest things are focus on quality of food you're eating, and then the macronutrient timing.
Yep, absolutely.
Brilliant, Lock, mate. It's been an absolute pleasure. I believe, man, you'll be doing another podcast in coming weeks for Central Vic Performance, so we'll try and get a few on board for that. But great chat, mate. Thanks to you guys for sending in some questions, really good questions, really good talking points. But apart from that, we'll see you back next week for episode 41 of The Health Project.